chapter 19, verses 28 through 48. I'm going to start reading, and then some of the verses, of course, will be on the screen. But I want to turn your attention to these scriptures, because this is where Jesus, having now come to the very end of his earthly ministry, is coming into the city of Jerusalem. He is fulfilling prophecy. He is showing that he is the king that was promised, the Messiah that was promised. But in verse 28, as we see this account begin, you have to keep in mind what is going on all around him. People have been expecting a king. They want a king to be freed from the tyranny of the Romans. But they were expecting a king that looked, that fulfilled their expectations. They were not looking for a king like Jesus. And yet, at this point in time, as Jesus comes into the city, there's a response from the crowd. So verse 28. After Jesus had said this, he's in Bethany and so on, he's speaking there. But after Jesus had said these things, he went on ahead, going up to Jerusalem. As he approached Bethphage and Bethany at the hill called the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples, saying to them, "Go to the village ahead of you, and as you enter it, you will find a colt tied there, which no one has ever ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you, 'Why are you untying it?' say, 'The Lord needs it.' Those who were sent ahead went and found it just as he had told them. As they were untying the colt, its owners asked them, 'Why are you untying the colt?' They replied, 'The Lord needs it.' They brought it to Jesus, threw their cloaks on the colt, and put Jesus on it. As he went along, people spread their cloaks on the road. When he came near the place where the road goes down the Mount of Olives, the whole crowd of disciples began joyfully to praise God in loud voices for all the miracles they had seen. 'Hosanna! Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest.' Praise the Lord. Hosanna." Some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to Jesus, "Teacher, rebuke your disciples." "I tell you," he replied, "if they keep quiet, the stones will cry out." As he approached Jerusalem and saw the city, he wept over it and said, if you had only known on this day what would bring you peace, but now it is hidden from your eyes. The days will come upon you when your enemies will build an embankment against you and encircle you and hem you in on every side. They will dash you to the ground, you and the children within your walls. They will not leave one stone on another, because you did not recognize the time of God's coming to you." When Jesus entered the temple courts, he began to drive out those who were selling. "It is written," he said to them, "'My house will be a house of prayer, but you have made it a den of robbers.'" Every day he was teaching at the temple, but the chief priests, the teachers of the law, and the leaders among the people were trying to kill him. Yet they could not find any way to do it, because all the people hung on his words. The timing of all of this and the exact sequence, there's some debate as to did Jesus enter the temple immediately after he came through in this triumphal entry into Jerusalem. There's some question about which day did this happen, exactly how did all this, these things go. But, you know, this morning, my focus is not on any of that. I'm not trying to analyze this timing and the sequence and what exactly Jesus did or didn't do. What I am focused on is this text that we have read and the message that it conveys for us. Because what I want us to focus on is this notion of recognizing the time. Jesus said to them, how Jesus wept over Jerusalem with that one statement, you did not recognize the time of God's coming to you. So this becomes an important question for us. What is time? How do you recognize time? How do you know it is the time? What is time? And you know, science and philosophers and so many others have tried to define what time is. And so they talk about time in terms of events ordered from the past and the present and the future, the measure or the duration of an event and the interval between an event. You know, so you can talk about time in all those ways. But there really has been a lot of trouble from scientists, scholars, others, philosophers, to define time in a very precise way. Saint Augustine, in his autobiographical collection, Confessions, he speaks about time and he said, it's a stretching of the mind by which we simultaneously grasp the past in memory, the present by attention, and the future by expectation. So he was saying, we grasp the past in memory, the present by attention, and the future by expectation. But from a biblical perspective, from a biblical worldview, when you start to think of things in terms of what God describes, time comes into being with the creation of God. When God created, now we had time. And time ends when Jesus returns to the earth, he establishes his eternal kingdom in a new heaven and new earth. There is no longer the governing of time. We are with Jesus for eternity. So biblically speaking, time is the dimension within which the plan of God for humanity and this world unfolds. Eternity past, eternity future, but right there you have this time, this duration when the plan of God for humanity and this world unfolds. That's how you think about time. And so therefore, in that period, during that period of time, God has planned for specific events, specific milestones, specific people's lives to be going in a certain way, rulers and nations and kingdoms and all sorts of things that the Lord has ordained, specific times through this entire long period of time. So, what does that mean for us? God's plan for the world, the fulfillment of his perfect will over the past, the present, and the future follows his perfect timing. In Ecclesiastes 3:11, it says, he has made everything beautiful in its time. He has also set eternity in the human heart. Yet no one can fathom what God has done from beginning to end. Nobody can understand this and comprehend it completely. But we know that God is the one that has created this time and has made it beautiful. And he's the one who has set eternity in our hearts. And in Galatians chapter 4 and verse 4, many, many references in the Bible to time and the fulfillment of time and the fullness of time and so on. But in Galatians chapter 4 and verse 4, it says, when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law. When the fullness of time had come. God looks at time as the opportunity to fulfill his word. And so at each stage, we see his plan unfolding, his word fulfilled, his prophecies coming to bear. And so we understand that God's plan follows his perfect timing. Now, as you look at this passage and you read what's going on here, and I'm giving you this context and having you think about time in these ways, what is very clear is that then understanding the times, knowing the times, recognizing the times is dependent on us understanding God and his plans. It's not sufficient for us to know the times of our own lives or to think of it from a personal or individual context, or even to think of legacy that we have and the generations before us. No, there is a need for us to understand the times by being dependent on understanding God and His plans. There are a number of references in the Old and New Testament to those that understood the times. In fact, in 1 Chronicles, all the way back in 1 Chronicles, in chapter 12, when it's speaking about the men that were coming to David as the new king, it says in verse 32, 1 Chronicles 12, 32, from Issachar, the tribe, men who understood the times and knew what Israel should do. 200 chiefs with all their relatives under their command. In the New Living Translation, it says, all these men understood the signs of the times and knew the best course for Israel to take. So there's a statement that's being made and a clear directive to us that if you want to understand the times, you need to understand God and His plans. You need to know the plans that God has for the world as a whole and the plans that He has for you personally. Now, if we don't know God and His plans, we will be swept up in whatever is going on around us rather than knowing what to do. If we don't know God and His plans, we will be swept up in the hysteria around us. We will be swept up in the euphoria around us. We will be swept up in the latest trend. We will be swept up in whatever the world around us is doing. We will be swept up in sports and entertainment and all sorts of other things because we do not know God and His plans. The people in the city of Jerusalem were shouting out, Hosanna. And the word Hosanna means save us. God save us. God saves even. And they were shouting, Hosanna, blessed is the King. But you know, just a few days later, most of those people were saying, we have no king other than Caesar, crucify him. They were saying that about Jesus. They were shouting Hosanna one day and shouting crucify him just a few days later. Why? Because they did not know God and His plans. Their eyes were blinded. They had not seen the true Messiah, the King of Kings, right before them. They were doing something. They were caught up in what was going on. And when the next person, you know, the person next to them was shouting, they also shouted. But they did not understand. If we don't know what God is doing and what His plans are for the world, for us, we will give in to fear. When there's a pandemic or there's some other situation or a financial crisis or a relationship problem, or something else that confronts our life. We will listen to the counsel of those around us. We will pay attention to all sorts of advice. We will go to counselors and psychologists and psychiatrists, and we will do all of that. And we will go in a different direction because we don't know God and His plans. Again, you need to have counselors. You need to have psychologists. You need to have psychiatrists. You need to have people who will help you. You need to deal with mental health and the problems that can come through that. There is a sufficient space for all of that in our lives. But we need to be people who first and foremost are hearing from God and know His plans and know what He's saying about the times that we're living in. So in that context, we don't have to worry. Is this the end time? Is this the last days? Is it, you know, is Jesus going to come back tomorrow? You know, is the world going to end? None of that has to alarm you or to frighten you. You simply say, God, I trust You. I look to You. I am confident in what You are doing in my life. And I am confident that You know what is to come. Nothing that is going on right now is a surprise to God. Nothing is catching Him off guard. Nothing is a panic for God. And so, Lord, we trust You for the times of our lives. Now, if we know God and His plans, then we will recognize the time of His coming to us. If we know God and His plans, we will recognize the time of His coming to us. You know, it's amazing to me that when Jesus came into Jerusalem, you know, this was like a culmination of His ministry. And He could have rejoiced that people seemed to be accepting him, that they were shouting and recognizing that he is the king. But he knew what was in the heart of men, and he knew what was going on. And the Bible says that he wept. He wept. He didn't just say, oh, I'm so sad. He wept. It's intense crying, sorrow, grief, when he says, oh, you have been blinded. You have not understood, and you have not recognized the time of God's coming to you. It is a sobering statement and a necessary reminder for us that we need to know God and his plans so that we will recognize the time of his coming. Jesus came into this world and lived in this world as a man so that he could then demonstrate what it means to live as a child of God, but more importantly, so that he could die as a sacrifice, as the perfect sacrifice that would take away our sins, and then that he would rise again as the first fruits to show us that there is resurrection life, and to be the guarantee, to be that deposit that says, I'm preparing for you a life with me in eternity. Here's how it's going to look. This is what it's going to be. Praise God for that. Praise God for that. Because of that, because of his first coming, we are anticipating, and the promises he has made, we are anticipating his second coming. We believe and we're looking forward to Jesus returning. We don't say, oh God, everything is a mess here. Please get me out of this earth. Or you come back, Lord. Come, Lord Jesus, because everything is a mess. The pandemic, oh God, come back. No, no, no. We say, oh Lord Jesus, in your perfect time, according to your perfect will, when the fulfillment of all things has taken place, when those that you have wanted to come into the kingdom of God have come in to the kingdom of God, when you have, Lord, delayed your coming so that more would be saved, when all things, when there is a fulfillment in the fullness of time, we know, Lord, that you will return. So we look forward to that. But I want to encourage you that every single day, God comes to you. God speaks to you. God chooses to dwell in us. His Holy Spirit inspires and gives wisdom and understanding. His word opens up to us. It illumines his will for us. And so we need to recognize God's coming to us in all those ways. Maybe today somebody will call you on the phone. Maybe you'll call somebody on the phone. Maybe there's some communication that takes place. And it'll be the word of God coming to you. It'll be that God himself is coming through that channel, through that person, to minister, to serve. That's where we also have to recognize, to be discerning of the coming of God to us. When we know the plans of God, when we know his timings, when we know what he's intending for us, that we can say, we can recognize the time of his coming. And you know, when we recognize the time of his coming to us, we will joyfully proclaim, Hosanna, blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. When we recognize the time of his coming to us, we're not doing it because the person standing next to us is shouting. We're not doing it because somebody said to you, okay, now at this time, everybody shout. No. There will be a spontaneous, exuberant praise that comes from within us. We will see that God himself is in our midst. We will see that Jesus is walking amongst us. We will see that the King of Kings is coming to us lowly and humble, riding on a colt. And we can't help but shout, Hosanna, blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Praise the name of Jesus. What a wonderful, wonderful word it is for us that on this Palm Sunday, we can say, oh God, we join with all those disciples and we shout. But Lord, we thank you that today you have given us the privilege of shouting ourselves, of shouting in our homes and in our families and in our circumstances of life as we go about. And maybe sometimes it would be inappropriate for you to yell out loud, Hosanna, in the middle of the street or in the middle of the office. But you can be yelling on the inside. You can be experiencing the touch of God, the presence of God, the word of God coming to you, and you can be shouting, Hosanna, blessed is the one who comes. Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is my King to whom I have submitted and to whom I owe all my allegiance. Who is the master and Lord of my life? Praise the Lord for that. That's the wonderful privilege that we have as children of God. And so, as we look at this, I want to turn our attention to ask this question. What should we do? How do we respond? How do we say, God, let me know your times and recognize these things? Well, in 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 2 through 11, the Bible says, live for the rest of your time in the flesh, no longer for human passions, but for the will of God. For the time that is past suffices for doing what the Gentiles want to do, living in sensuality, passions, drunkenness, orgies, drinking parties, and lawless idolatry. With respect to this, they are surprised when you do not join them in the same flood of debauchery, and they malign you. But they will give account to him who is ready to judge the living and the dead. For this is why the gospel was preached even to those who are dead, that though judged in the flesh the way people are, they might live in the spirit the way God does. The end of all things is at hand. Therefore, be self-controlled and sober-minded for the sake of your prayers. Above all, keep loving one another earnestly, since love covers a multitude of sins. Show hospitality to one another without grumbling. As each has received a gift, use it to serve one another. As good stewards of God's varied grace, whoever speaks as one who speaks oracles of God, whoever serves as one who serves by the strength that God supplies, in order that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. To him belong glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Because we recognize the times, because we know God and his plans, because we seek to understand and to learn and grow in that knowledge of God and his plans, we live self-controlled and sober-minded lives. For each one of us, that's going to look a little different. But God knows exactly what needs to be done in your life personally so that you would be living self-controlled and sober-minded. We love each other earnestly. We want to serve and to love each other, love covering over a multitude of sins. That means that in these times, because we know that we recognize the times we're living in, we're not spending our time judging our brother and our sister and the people around us and trying to find all. No, we're in the end days. We're in the end of time. What better way to use our time than to love each other earnestly? And then, what better way to use our time than to serve one another with the gifts that the Lord has given us? Each one of us, the Lord has blessed us, has gifted us, has poured out his spirit in us. And that's how, when the body comes together, we're able to minister to one another, to serve one another with the gifts. For one, it is to encourage. For one, it is to exhort. For one, it is to pray for healing. For another, it is to give a word of knowledge. Whatever gifts that the Lord has been laying on your heart, has been working in your life, time is now for us to serve one another with the gifts that the Lord has given us. And we speak the oracles of God to each other and to the people who don't know God. We speak the word of God. We speak the wisdom of God. We speak the good news, the gospel of salvation and the gospel of the kingdom of God. We speak the oracles of God to those around us in our own spheres of influence and those that are distant. Right now, almost anybody and everybody you can think of is putting out videos. There are YouTube channels, there's Instagram videos, Facebook Live, because everybody's at home and everybody's doing something to put the word out. Well, that's wonderful. Enjoy it. Receive that which is good. But you also have an opportunity. Reach out to somebody. speak the oracles of God. You have a gift. God has given you his word in your mouth, and you can speak it. You can share it. You can bless somebody else. And then, because we recognize the times, because we live in all these ways that I'm listing out here, because we love and we serve and because we speak, we sing. We sing Hosanna to the Lord. We say to him, Lord, you are worthy of my praise. You are the one that I will glorify. As we read here, that we would be glorifying God through Jesus Christ forever. We would be giving him glory and dominion forever. But we would be singing to our God. We'd be saying, Hosanna to the Lord. Praise the name of Jesus, that he has given us all that we need for life and godliness. And this morning, I want to encourage you. I want to challenge you that as we look to apply this word, as we look to take the lessons of Palm Sunday, as we look to see how Jesus was responding and what he wanted as his priority, he didn't want the people shouting Hosanna. He wanted them to recognize the times. So this day, I want to challenge you that you would set apart time to understand the times. That means set apart time to read the Bible. Set apart time to pray. Set apart time to seek the wisdom of God. You can be so busy and so caught up in so many different things that you don't have time to understand the times. You don't have time to understand God's plan and what he is saying. But now, as we have been called apart or set apart, as we have been forced to be still, take the time to understand the times. Take the time to understand and to call out for wisdom and understanding from God. To say, Lord Jesus, I come to you and I am asking you for wisdom because you said that if I ask for wisdom, you will give it. So I need it. I'm asking. I want to understand. When I read these scriptures, I want them, Lord, to come alive to me, and I want to understand your word to me. So we understand what the Lord is doing. Set time apart. Maybe it's in the morning, maybe it's in the evening. You have to determine that. There's no rule for this. It's up to you. But you would set that time apart. Seek the Lord. He will be found. That's what the word says to us. He will be found by those that seek him. And then I want to encourage you that you would offer consistent praise to God because you truly know him, not because you're doing it by peer pressure. The people in the city of Jerusalem that welcomed Jesus praised him, but they didn't remain in that attitude of praising God, of praising Jesus. Like I said, they started out by praising him, but very quickly moved to condemn him. We have to be people of God who offer consistent praise to God. And the only way that we can be consistent in our praise to God is if we are consistent in our relationship with God. If all you know God is as a provider or a healer, as a rescuer, yeah, that'll be good. And the people there experienced all of that. In fact, the word says that they sang out and shouted because they had seen the miracles. They had received food and they had received healing and they had received things from Jesus in such a way that they said, oh, we can sing and shout and praise him. But if all God is doing for you is to answer a need, is for you to come to him and say, give me this, give me that, then I encourage you that you would in these days come to him for who he is, not for what he does. Not for what he provides, but for how he has loved you and given his life for you. In a few minutes, we'll be participating in communion. It is our reminder. It is our opportunity to say, oh God, you gave yourself for me. You gave your life for me. I worship you. I thank you. I glorify you. I thank you, Jesus, that you are good. I thank you, Lord, that you are the one who has given me life. That's what we're praying for. That's what we're believing for. That's how we offer consistent praise to God. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word this morning from Luke chapter 19, verses 28 through 48, that speaks of your triumphal entry into Jerusalem. And I thank you, Lord, that in the middle of all of that celebration, you spoke a word that helps us to understand what our priority needs to be. You helped us to remember. You helped us to realize that we have to be people who recognize the time. Who recognize the time and the seasons and the times of past and what you are preparing for. But most importantly, that we would be people who recognize the time of God's coming. That we will see you, we will hear you, we will know this is the word of the Lord. That we will hear that voice saying, this is the way, walk in it, and we will take steps that are firm. Oh Lord God, we thank you for that. Father, we pray that in every way possible, for us individually, for us as families, and for us as a church, that we will be a church that recognizes the time. That, Lord, we would be eagerly awaiting and receiving you coming to us. And when you come, we will so wonderfully recognize you that we can't help but sing. We can't help but shout. We can't help but declare, Hosanna! Blessed is the one who comes. Blessed is the King. Blessed is my King who comes in the name of the Lord. Oh, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.